game week is here, finally. Football game week, UNLV hosting Howard to start the season on Saturday. We didn't want to leave you empty-handed, so we're going to do a short, quick version of the Rebel Room. I'm Case Kiefer, along with Mike Grimala, looking a little bit ahead to the Bison game, which we think UNLV should be able to handle, but mainly wanted to talk about, I think early last week after we spoke on the podcast, Mike, you wrote a story about the position battles to watch kind of in the last week. We got the answers to some of those last night. UNLV releases its first depth chart. I looked over it just now, but, you know, recognize some names, know the personnel, obviously, but it doesn't mean a whole lot to me, someone that hasn't been around and following this all off season. So your reactions, what stood out to you when you first got this depth chart last night?
I think the first thing, it's not so much a depth chart note as it is an injury note, is Kendall Keys, he tore his ACL last preseason, so he missed last year. He got a medical redshirt. He looked like he was coming back strong. He was practicing throughout training camp, and he looked like he was on track to play in week one, but then another knee issue flared up, an unrelated knee issue. I think he's got a knee sprain, and that's going to keep him out for week one, so he's not on the depth chart. You won't see him. Tony Sanchez says he'll probably be available for week two, so it doesn't seem like it's that serious, but maybe precautionary there, holding him out. And then we saw some position battles settled. Center, Zach Singer, who was the leader for most of training camp, he sewed up that job. The cornerbacks, there was a four-man rotation throughout most of camp. They settled on that. Jericho Flowers is the number one cornerback. Robert Jackson is the number two on the outside. Tim Huff is the nickel cornerback. Things like that. We saw, you know, that you got some clarity in those spots, at least in week one anyways.
For sure. Probably the favorites. You mentioned Singer was the favorite to get the center spot. And just an aside of him, I'm very happy to see him win that battle. Just being a local kid following his career, I remember him at Gorman was just a monster. And always hoped good things for him at college. And, I mean, it really seems like the offensive line, as we've talked about in previous podcasts, is going to be a strength of this team. And I think he should be a part of that. But cornerback-wise, Flowers and Huff, I mean, those are the names you recognize the most, the guys with the experience, so it probably wasn't a huge surprise that they wound up in those two slots either, right?
Yeah, I think they were two favorites going in. Huff is he's somewhat of a special case. They like him on the inside. They like him playing the slot, so he's he's listed as a co-starter on the outside, but I think you're going to see most of his snaps, you know, playing the slot, playing on the inside. You'll see Jackson and Flowers on the outside. And then the fourth guy who was in that rotation, Ty Jason Roberts, he's an interesting case. He's transitioning from linebacker to corner, and so he's like a bigger physical presence that maybe a matchup type dependent guy if you play, you know, bigger receivers or you get down in the red zone, something like that. But I expect to see him playing a fair bit too.
The rare, you always hear about the position switches and guys being repurposed, but not very often the linebacker and a cornerback.
Yeah, no, it was interesting. I talked to him last week, and talked about, you know, the transition, and he said defensive backs coach David Lockwood has been working with him all summer, and, you know, just trying to get down his footwork, and he's trying to keep that linebacker mentality. He wants to be, you know, a physical, rough him up corner, but he's, you know, also working on his footwork, and he's, you know, he says he's an aggressive player, always wants to play downhill. But I think you'll see those four guys mix in. That may be, it's a matchup dependent, you know, position anyways. The secondary, you want to play matchups there. So we'll see how those four guys sort of shake out week to week.
I know all the concern from us and from the outside too is with this defense. But I think you talk to people and you just hear, like, are they going to be able to stop anyone? You don't really hear the specifics. Like, what do you think are, you know, on paper, some of the weaknesses of this defense? What are some of the spots now that this depth chart are out, guys that are going to need to kind of take the next step to make sure UNLV improves on that side?
I think, like, isn't the first thing you look at when you look at any defense is the line and how can you break the pocket? Like, can you get off blocks and, like, disrupt things and, disrupt the running game, make the quarterback hurry in the pocket? So, for me, that's going to fall on Mike Hughes, defensive tackle. He showed good flashes as a sophomore. I thought he was going to break out last year. I don't think he really had that kind of, you know, breakout season. But he's, you know, a team leader, a guy they're counting on for big production this year. He was held out of the last few weeks of training camp. He came back and practiced a little bit at the end, and he's, you know, so that's a depth chart news. He's good to go for week one. He'll be starting it. So he's got to play well. Jameer Outsi, who's a transfer from Iowa State. He's locked in at defensive end. He's earned that starting job. He's another guy that they need to create some havoc in the pocket and get in the backfield. So that's the biggest thing for me. Can they win on the defensive line?
For sure. I mean, that makes a lot of sense to me, too. I had forgotten. You just reminded me. I know one of the games I covered last year and wrote a column was just – I think at the time they were last in the nation in sack rate, and maybe like adjusted sack rate. I mean, they just could get no pressure. And, I mean, really, you looked, I think last year they had some athletic guys, some guys you'd expect more in the secondary, but they just got to have some help up front. So I think that's a good point. Mike Hughes is seems primed for that breakout once again. I mean, it seems he's one of the have they released their captains?
Yeah,
it seems like he's kind of one of the faces of the program, at least going into this year.
Yeah, Singer, Boyd, I believe Hughes, and then one other special teamer were the team captains. But yeah, it's time. You know, he's the senior, he's the big man, he's in the middle of that line. Like if he has a really good year, it'll have a trickle down effect to the rest of the defense and the other areas where they need help.
Right, so touched on the secondary and up front, going to go a long way towards their success. What about Tyjason Roberts' former position group linebackers? Anything stand out there? What should we be watching going into this game against the Bison?
To me, I was kind of fascinated by the middle linebacker battle throughout camp because they've got Brian Keyes, who was eventually named the starter. He's a senior. But he got pushed by Farrell Hester, who's a Gorman kid, who is a true freshman, and played, I think, a little bit better than anyone expected in training camp. And there was some legitimate competition there for a while, and then Keyes pulled away again at the end. Gabe McCoy is someone. He's a sophomore. He's going to be a linebacker. He's a guy that I think they like in terms of coming forward and just chasing after the ball and maybe getting into the backfield once in a while. Still a young guy with some upside, so it remains to be seen how that's going to translate to the field. But I think Gabe McCoy is a guy that they like and they think could be another breakout type player. So Keyes, Farrell, McCoy, see if they can cobble together something good enough to win some games.
Yeah, certainly, and I think this probably goes without saying, but even though guy like Farrell Hester is second on the depth chart, I mean, he's going to get some snaps. We're going to get to see him as a true freshman, so it'll be interesting to see how that transition goes for him. I guess just quickly, I mean, we mentioned Kendall Keyes out for the first game. Should be fine against Howard. The other starting receivers listed next to Devontae Boyd are Darren Woods, Brandon Presley, and McKee Stevenson?
Makai Stevenson, I believe.
My bad. And what stands out other than Keyes offensively?
I think, Presley is a guy who was really impressed, spring and in training camp. A guy from the slot and on the outside who can make plays and run after the catch. He's a guy who will – it wouldn't surprise me if he stepped up and had a big season, had a big week one without Keyes out there. Boyd, if he's healthy, you know what you're getting from him. He's a guy that's going to move the chains. He'll make some big plays. He's your top target. The rest of the young guys, it's going to be up and down. Your Darren Woods, Makai Stevenson, you're just going to have to wait and see. That's why you sort of want Keyes in there because he's a veteran. It's like what you're getting. So your receiving core, I think, is the depth is much better than last year. One of the things that was a little bit surprising on offense in the backfield, Charles Williams and Lexington Thomas are co-number ones in the backfield. I think most people just sort of assume that Charles Williams was going to be the clear-cut guy going into this year based on, setting the freshman rushing record last year. But I think Thomas had a good enough preseason that, the coaches, they want to get him, on the field. They want to get him some carries. So you may see those guys splitting carries a little bit more evenly than you may have thought.
Yeah, I think we've said it before, but it bears repeating. I mean, running back is one place where they should be set. I mean, even last year, I remember Xavier Campbell, the third running back on the depth chart, he had some really good games. I think one I was at, he went off. So that should be impressive. Another thing that stands out, we mentioned Presley, Stevenson, Woods are going to be next to Boyd. And, I mean, along with Charles Williams, all sophomores. So people that are looking at, still UNLV maybe being a couple years away from being a real, contender, a real threat in the Mountain West. I mean, the future looks bright. It kind of reminds me of when Boyd and Keyes were going into their sophomore year and everyone was fired up. So a lot of young players on the offense and a lot of young talent. I think there's a lot on this depth chart to be excited about on that side.
Yeah, and the offensive line, I believe, is you got Kyle Saxelid at left tackle, who's a senior, but the rest of the offensive line are all, you know, underclassmen who will be back next year. So it's a that side of the ball is it is very young, so it's, they get some time to grow together.
For sure. Well, that's some talk on the depth chart. We'll put you on the spot here for the Howard game, just to preview it very quickly. Of course, it's a FCS opponent, so there won't be any betting line until later in the week, probably Friday or even Saturday morning. But my numbers, I'm projecting it. I think UNLV is going to be somewhere in around like a 33 to 35 point favorite. What do you think?
I think you want to see them break 50 points in probably that. Yeah, that seems about right. 40, 38, 40 points, something like that. I may even go a little higher if I was going to set a spread for that game.
Yeah, for sure. It wasn't high enough last year when they played. Now my mind's blanking. Whoever they destroyed.
Yeah, Jackson State. I think it was like 55 to 10 or something like that.
Yeah, so should be interesting. Stick around to LasVegasSun.com all week for more information, previews, coverage of the game. We're looking forward to getting this underway. And that's it for the Rebel Room today. For Mike, I'm Case. Thanks for listening.